Well, hello again, George Halford. And did you know that football face masks were first made in this country at Tennessee Tech? Our guest, good friend, great guy, Randy Adams is here today to talk about his life and the famous Tennessee Tech face mask. Welcome, Randy.
Good morning, George.
So we're going to have fun, and they're going to tell us when it's time to quit. We may just go all day.
We'll let her sit in there and push the buttons and do this stuff. We're just going to visit.
I'm excited. I haven't seen you in a while. Good friend. Debbie, your great wife, worked at the chamber, served chamber during a time period, and just good to see you again. I was the other night I was flipping channels, and here comes our county fair, and there's Randy Adams doing the play-by-play in the color of the rodeo. I thought you was going to jump out and jump on a horse and go.
I wish I could. I really do.
Little thing called a back, isn't it?
Back, knee.
Age, maybe.
Pain, age, things like
mainly
that.
Mainly the back's what I understand.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, I've been privileged for a long time to get to spend time with WCTE.
That's right.
Help them
great.
On their broadcasting.
Yeah.
But this year, I got to do it with my daughter.
That was
Terry.
See, I lost all these years. I've lost. That's a lifetime moment.
Cool it was to get to be up there with her.
That's great.
And spend that time with her. And she's an eighth grade teacher now in White County Middle School.
Man,
so you know she's getting to she's teaching ag to middle school students.
Oh, that's great.
And she's teaching those young people where our food comes from because they don't have a clue anymore.
No.
She teaches them how to make butter. She teaches them.
That's great. Going back to basic things that we need to know. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I mean, they were discussing the other day the difference in grass-fed beef and the corn-fed beef.
Okay.
And, you know, things that those kids have never even thought about.
Sure.
So maybe as they move on through life and they look and pick up other things, she's getting them ready for the FFA part. When they move into those chapter roles,
we've got a strong chapter. Of course, Tennessee Tech, ag, and what your daughter's doing.
And she's a tech grad.
Tech grad.
Working on her master's.
Rodeo star growing up.
Still is.
Okay.
She still competes. Our grandson competes. He's already won belt buckles.
Terry, I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to take you back to birth. No, literally, it's Billy Graham. Billy Graham, but. This story is about this segment I love. I told you off air. It's about the who.
Yeah.
It's about people in our community and region who make up the tapestry of our community, and each in their own individual way make a difference. So, and I'm literally going to do Billy Graham type thing, and we're going to start with who are you? Where'd you come from? Your formative years, what's important to you, your passions, and about 6 hours from now, we'll be through, maybe for the first segment. So let's start it. You've got a rich, rich history here in this region, your family. Let's start at birth, and tell me who is Randy Adams?
Gosh, all the questions I've ever been asked, I've never been asked that.
Well,
lots of people now have said, who are you?
And it's we.
But it's not that. But, you know, George, the fabric of who we are.
Yes. What's important to you?
This community is so rich, and I've been so blessed to grow up in this community and to get to be a part of that fabric or get to have that fabric be me.
Yes.
And it's a little bit of here and there and everywhere. But my family, somehow, I'm related to Richard Fielding Cook.
No, I say didn't
so,
know that.
Yeah, I'll go back to him, and there are people who can explain that to me. But my grandmother's folks on my mom's side, Isaiah Burgess got a grant for his service in the Revolutionary War, and he moved to a little place down the road here called, they call it Burgess Falls.
Burgess. Man, you do go back a little ways, don't you?
Yeah. So, you know, when you look in the family books and you see Boone and you see Crockett and you see Cherokee
Cook.
And Creek and all kinds of people, but it put us in that position. That was my mom's side.
Okay.
And then Dad came out of the coal mines in the very tip of West Virginia and Virginia and Tennessee.
Okay.
So his mom adopted the other two sisters because their dad got killed walking home. Their mom died in childbirth with the last child, with the last daughter. There are three girls. But she was he was walking home from work one night. He worked for the railroad.
Mm-hmm.
And he was jumped and robbed outside of a railroad tunnel and was murdered. So,
oh my God.
She had to keep the family together, so she adopted the other two. And on down through the line, she ended up marrying. She had dad. But then she divorced the man who was dad's father, and we never got to meet him.
Okay.
We never got to know him.
Okay.
Actually, my name should be Southard.
Mm-hmm.
But Adams is an adopted name.
See, there
and
you go.
O.M. Adams was living in the Cookeville area, and he was a salesman of all things for C.M. McClung Company, the hardware company in Knoxville.
Mm-hmm.
And so that brought Dad to Cookeville.
Okay, that's how
he got
y'all
here.
To Cookeville. Okay,
but he and he ended up somehow with my mother, but then her dad, Jay Mitchell. Kind of became his second father as well because O.M. Adams passed away when Dad was like 10.
I see.
So, you know, Dad went into the Army Air Corps in World War II, as everybody else did. He played football at the high school here. And
mm-hmm.
Great. He and Bill Blue were classmates and mm-hmm. big buddies, and W.C. Moore and a whole bunch of those legendary figures in Cookeville's early days.
Mm-hmm.
And the city school was where the city hall is now.
I see.
Where that's at. So they got to, you know, just playing ball and having a good time. And he went into the Army, and he worked with this material called plexiglass.
Okay.
And he was a Czech airman as well as he was a Czech airman. He's also a master mechanic. So he was working on P-40s and P-51s. And there's all kinds of stories from that era of things that we just don't think about today of that greater generation.
Oh, yeah.
And things that they did, like duck hunting out of a P-40 over Wheelfoot Lake. But, having a pickup boat down there, and the guys would slide the canopy back because they made dual canopy P-40s, which didn't exist.
Hmm.
But they did it.
Sure.
And
they just got it done.
They just got it done.
So they
developed that whole generation, had an attitude of, let's just do it. And
if
you needed something done, they just fixed
it.
Just
do it.
Growing up, we didn't have a Lowe's, but we didn't go to Lowe's and buy something. We made it.
That's right.
And we went to Maddox Hardware and got the parts, or we went to Highland Hardware and got the parts, and we just fixed it. So after the war, and Dad is, they're living, Mom and Dad are living with my grandparents.
Okay.
Which is the
after
house.
After the war.
And they're living just off the square in the house that used to be J.J. Jack's. And it's now a CPA's house.
Yeah.
But that was their house. And Dad would, he was working, he'd worked for my granddaddy for a while, but he's also working for Brown & Watson Hardy, Sporting Goods.
That's where some of the bigger stuff started getting ready to happen, right?
So. You know, he was, there was a guy, a band leader at Tennessee Tech by the name of Jay Julian.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all might remember him from the University of Tennessee.
Yes.
The Pride of the South. Well, Jay Julian is from Smithville, and he was at Tennessee Tech as the band leader.
Before the UT.
Tennessee Tech ran through the T before UT ran through the T.
That's a new one right there.
So he was the trombone player. I believe it was trombone. His name was Thaxton.
Okay.
And they came to the football team and said, hey, we're paying for these lips to be at school here. We don't want them hurt. So he can't play football anymore. And the coach said, well, we can't have that. He's one of our best players. So Dad said, I'll fix it. So he took a piece of plexiglass like he used in the Army Air Corps and put a wide piece across his mouth. Well, back then you played teams closer.
That's right.
Than
you
we
did.
Do now.
Yeah, but you
so
didn't.
They played Vanderbilt.
Yeah,
Vanderbilt saw this piece of plastic, this big clear bar across this man's face with everybody else with an open face helmet.
That's right. That's right.
And they went, "Whoa, that's a weapon."
No.
And they protested, and the NCAA said, "No, that's a legal piece of equipment."
That is the beginning.
That's the beginning
of the face mask. I want to make sure.
And that's where Vanderbilt said, fine, we want one for all of our players.
It started the movement.
That's how it started.
And your dad was the inventor.
He would make them in my grandmother's oven at night.
Think about that.
He would mold them. He made him a little jig, and he would mold them and buff them off and get the screws, holes, and everything set. And he would drop them off at the post office, the old post office downtown, on his way to Brown & Watson.
Yeah.
Sporting Goods, which is across from the depot. There is where it was. And then on his way home at night, he had a post office box, and he'd step by, and he'd pick up the money where people would send him money where they paid for a face mask.
Wow. And literally, probably as this thing grew, he was sending them all over the country.
Oh, he was.
To LSU, the universities.
LSU was the next university that had face masks. And then, so you had to protect yourself, right? Because these people had this weapon on their face.
So this was this is how the face mask, I mean, that's NFL, NCAA, all the, in the early, what years were that probably?
1947.
Wow. Okay. We're not going to have enough time to even get in, but we're nearing the end. Anything on that? We're going to pick up where we left off after this first segment. Anything in the next few several seconds to put a little bow on that or anything?
Well, yeah, just to put a bow on it and go back. And if you're listening, and especially if you're out there trying to figure out what you want to do in life, he just looked for a reason to fix things.
That's right.
And he looked for a way to fix it instead of whining about it or complaining about it or saying that's not done. So you can do it.
And it's the old thing, you follow your passion, follow your belief. I mean, this guy just liked to do that kind of stuff, and look where it ended up. We're going to be right back. Randy, don't go anywhere. George Hoffer, Randy Adams, talking about the invention, first segment of the face mask in football. Back soon. George Alford with good friend Randy Adams. We're really talking some good stuff here, Randy. Cookeville Tennessee Tech, your dad, founded the face mask that is used in pro football and college, everything.
Football. Well, the idea of having
a safety.
Yeah.
And then we ran through the – let me have a recap here.
We ran through the T. Tennessee ran through the team.
For Tennessee and Dr. Julian.
Yep, Dr. J.
So there's so much history here.
Smithfield native.
So now let's pick up right there and let's talk about your dad and going forward and you.
Well, he went from my grandmother's kitchen, and his first plant was at the corner of First and Cedar.
Okay.
I remember as a kid laying in the window there.
Right there by the chamber.
At First and Cedar, and watching the Christmas parade go by. Now you talk about history and a memory and a blessing to get to have that.
Oh.
But you had Wilson just across across the railroad tracks with a big plant there, and they were lacing footballs. They were sewing
uniforms.
That's
right. Wilson Sporting Goods was their major.
And Dad was making by that time, he had branched into knee pads, thigh pads, neck rolls, chin straps, hip pads, all kinds of
things. This was the early days of the NFL.
This was early 60s.
Yeah, this is back early times, yeah.
So we were, we got branched off into that. And with them making the uniforms and making all the gear, Mickey Mantle's uniform used to be. Babe Ruth's uniforms were made in Cookeville.
I think it was, not Eldon, but his assistant. My mind's gone. She had people around here had original major, like Hank Aaron's.
Sports One has got a great collection started that would make a museum.
Oh.
Would make a Cookeville sports museum, and we need to have that one day.
We need to
throw that bug out there for
somebody. There's a good one, yeah.
But at one time, for at least four decades, there was never a team on a football field. There was never the game of football played anywhere in the world that Cookeville, Tennessee was not on the field.
Wow, did not know. Man.
Think about that.
The history of that. I mean, and
so
who came? 50s, think about
60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, well, into the 2000s.
Think about who came here from the NFL and people coming to Cookeville to see with Wilson Sporting Goods and what y'all were doing. I mean,
well, we used to put on Dad and Dad waited to get his first factory going up and running because he wanted Sonny Allen to be a salesman.
Sonny Allen, sure.
So he brought Sonny in, and Sonny and Sonny's dad and my dad's stepdad, O.M. Adams, mm-hmm. were great buddies.
Hmm.
And they were, I mean, they would travel together.
Oh, yeah.
And they were, oh, they were tremendous cut-ups and just absolutely a ball. So Dad waited on Sonny to get out of the Marine Corps
mm-hmm.
to come be the sales manager part. Then they picked up a young man going to Tennessee Tech by the name of Vaughn Howard.
Vaughn, I know his son.
And,
son's,
and his son's Brian.
Yeah,
Brian. The city. So, you know, Lynn and Sam Allen and Sherry Cannon now, but Sherry and Brian.
Okay.
And myself all got to grow up around Joe Adams and Terry Adams, my mom. Mom was the business person.
Okay.
Mom was the brains behind the operation. Dad could go out and piddle with stuff, and Mom would make the operation work.
I understand. So what a marriage and what a compliment each other.
Such a partnership. And then, but I had Sonny and I had Vaughn, and then Lowell Smith joined them a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had all these mentors as men and people around me.
That unbelievable. I got, the education yeah. you got.
Yeah.
Oh, just gosh. Growing up.
Learned how to, you know, Sonny and Lowell taught me how to tie a tie. Because I started going to trade shows when I was 13.
I see. So you literally grew up
yeah.
in this business.
Yeah. I was, when I was way too much younger, and I think the statute of limitations have passed, but you know, the wage and hour man here in town, his son and I were good friends, and it was you know, when you'd say, can you come over and play, and I said, no, I gotta go to
work.
I would pack packages of chin strap and face guard hardware, and you had a box of each and a box of penny envelopes, little manila envelopes. And you would put in four lock washers, four T-nuts, two screws, and two snap posts, and seal it. And you got a penny a piece for those. So if you hustled, you could get 100 done in an hour, and you could make minimum wage. So, and that was one of my first jobs. When I quit working in the yard and doing yard work, I graduated to inside the factory. But I learned when I was at the sporting goods shows and things, that the plant wasn't air conditioned at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be in there during the summer, but I learned if I could get somebody's attention enough and build a relationship with them.
That's right.
That when they would call in and want to place an order, they would ask for me.
As for you. Sure.
And I'd get to go up in the office and take an order pad and write their order
so
down.
So you learned that at a very early age.
I was in the air conditioning for five
minutes.
Oh,
you got to be in air conditioning.
That's how I got to be in the air conditioning.
You didn't get paid. You got paid extra by being in the air conditioning.
That's right. But, you know, Mom was so devoted to doing things right.
Yeah, yeah.
But she would do little things, and this was back before computers and all that other, but she might misspell a word mm-hmm. intentionally because she wanted to see who would pass that address off to somebody else.
I see. Okay.
So she might put an extra C or K or something in Cookeville or
yeah.
or a little extra dot, and if it showed up, she would know exactly where that came from. She worked for Judge Bryant in the courthouse
okay.
as his clerk.
Mm-hmm.
And she worked during the time when the lakes were being flooded around here. The rivers were being flooded and the dams were built.
Wow.
So, and the epitaphs on the tombstones and all of that stuff and moonshiners.
Oh, yeah. It's a way of life.
I remember.
This was the mountains.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was the mountain culture.
I grew up over there by Sycamore School and looking out our back window. Across in the morning, cool mornings especially, you could see the little trails of smoke from the stills
oh, yeah.
come up.
Oh, yeah.
And I could ride a bicycle or a pony back there, be hiking in the woods, and run across the still. I know I can show you today exactly where one's at. And it's just off a public street.
Oh, man. They probably just wave at you because there's this.
Yeah.
Everybody's family and knew everybody.
And, you know, learned how to judge moonshine, whether it's good or not. Yeah, that's something every teenager should know.
You're multi-talented. I didn't realize how talented. What a history. I hope you're writing this down.
I wish, but you're recording it now, so we can just transfer.
But I told Eldon Leslie, good friend, you know, former.
Oh, gosh,
30,
yeah.
I said, Eldon, I hope you're writing all this history down. I hope he did. He does, because it's rich. And what you're talking about is rich.
It is. It's just the blessing of this community and our fast-paced
it's
life
who we
today.
Are.
We pass it by too much.
We do. We do. You know, we're going to come back into this segment and – man, I don't know where this thing's going, but it's going pretty good right now. Randy Adams, George Hofford, Local Matters. I've already learned more than I knew. I learned a lot, but I've learned even more. Back soon. George Hofford, Randy Adams. Randy, you're a historian. Everything from moonshine to an NFL face mask.
I passed it when I was in school, but that's about as close as I've ever been being called that.
So here we are. We're going to pick up where we left off and just carry on, my friend. You're talking about growing up and what your family and founding your dad found the company and his early team. That sounds like a who's who of some of our key leaders in this town during for several years, 40
well,
years,
and,
right?
Too, when you look at the people I grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
That are key leaders in the community today,
mm-hmm.
and what they do. And I was talking to one of our deputies at the fair the other night before we went on.
Sure.
And he said, "Well, do you know my mom and dad?" And I said, "I dated your mom." And we were good friends.
That's rich.
We went
no,
out
what,
more
yeah.
as friends, but
yeah.
but we went to church together, at Jefferson, and at Jim and Patty Short.
Sure.
And
sure.
You know, he's a deputy, and his brother Patrick is over at Tutco. I think it's Tutco, in the maintenance, running the maintenance in and keeping those machines going. But you know, the fabric that we started talking about,
which is what we're talking,
and the
about.
Cover of this. You know, I was privileged enough to get to play football for Bobby Holloway when
okay.
I was in junior high.
Yeah,
who's Chris Holloway's dad? At
yep,
but Coach Holloway was just one of those great influential people and influential men. And I got to play for him for 2 years. And we had our junior year, we had a great team. Or my last year in junior high, my ninth grade year, we had a great team. I think we lost 2 games all year. went in as a sophomore under Jake Libby.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the team that we went to the Mid-State Bowl.
Wow.
And ended up state runners-up in our division that year because we didn't have the playoffs like we do now. But I got to play with great men like Thomas Lynn, who's at First National Bank.
Yes, Thomas Lynn's
son. Tommy Lynn's son,
Tommy
Thomas.
Tommy Lynn's son, Thomas, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, and got to be around.
You grew up with our leader.
Yeah.
You are a leader, and there was a group y'all that grew up together.
I don't consider myself a leader.
Well, you're.
I got to.
There
be,
are different
I'm,
kinds of leaders.
I'm blessed to be around those people, and
yeah, you're. A,
you know,
you're being modest, but that's okay.
Well,
we've talked about it. It's we, not I.
It is. You know, Mom had a thing, and it was either Life or Look magazine. I've tried everywhere in the world to find it, but it was a page out of the magazine, and it was the 13 most important words, the 12 most important words, and got all the way down to the least important word. And the least important word was I.
I. No
the
question.
Most important word was we.
We. We.
And
we.
I remember that being up in the office.
Yeah.
And
it's community. It's we. It's biblical.
It is.
Well,
I call it Can Do Cookville. And I
hey,
work
that's
for,
a good.
I work for Spectrum.
Yeah.
You know, what Jerry Owls and you look at all of our techs and all of our guys, when, you know, and people think, oh, Spectrum's a big company. You know, they're from, and we're a Fortune 50 company.
Well, sure.
Yeah, we're a big company.
Sure.
And we could do two shows on the being a big company.
Sure.
But we're local people, and they're local guys. But I can go in the office and say, hey, guys, we need to get signal out to a new plant coming in.
Yeah, sure.
And they're just like, yeah, okay, here's Let's how we it. Make it work.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And but TAA, get my lips untangled.
Yeah.
Football championships.
I remember those days.
And the way we put that together and the community came together.
Unbelievable.
And it wasn't – there was a core group that did it, but the community did it.
The community as a whole did. They welcomed.
Right.
And, yeah,
and
we were
blessed.
And the
opportunity to serve and welcome people to our area and our community. We had the tornado in 2020.
Yes, we did.
The federal people that were here and to help and were completely blown away by the amount of volunteerism that we had.
Oh, it's rare to.
And we worked, and I say we worked. We had 19 states that volunteered that came here.
Wow.
We had. We had over 7,000 volunteers that came here to help. We worked over 57,000 volunteer hours,
man,
to help. Kevin Tucker I got conscripted into it, but Kevin Tucker drugged me into that. He and Sally drug Deb and I into it.
Love Kevin.
And
great.
We stood a team
Tucker
up.
Stadium, right?
Absolutely.
It's his dad.
His dad. Yeah. One of the great football coaches in this area.
Yes, another yes. One. So that's, we talk about the history and
legendary.
The community. Yeah. We talk about community. Yeah.
And legendary. But, again, the volunteerism in this community. And I'm privileged now to be a part with the Emergency Operations Center, working with Brandon Smith and Tyler Smith.
Great people.
Under
great.
Mayor Porter.
Yeah.
And I say Mayor Porter, Executive Porter. But
of course, he was 20-something. He was – for head of the first, I mean,
he was EMS.
SMS for when I first moved. Yeah, he'd been there.
He and I fought fires together when we stood up the volunteer fire department.
Wow. See,
there was about 12 of us.
Yeah.
That wanted. You know, we knew a need to have a volunteer fire department in our community, so we started the Putnam County Volunteer Fire Department.
The stories again. I hope we're writing all the. I hope not writing, but I hope we're.
I see.
We're doing some
notes.
Recording. We got home. Okay.
But, you know, so you've got somebody that was a job as a paramedic going to Tennessee Tech.
Yeah.
But wanted to serve this community. And you've got so many people that want to serve this community. And, yeah, they may have a job and they may get some pay for it. Listen, it's and our teachers. I've got a daughter that's a teacher.
Yeah. Giving back agriculture, you said.
What? Right. She's an ag teacher at the middle school in White County. But, you know, and I get to see the inside of teachers and the pain they go through.
No question.
And the sacrifice they make.
And what they mean to our children
yeah.
and our family.
And how they have to support. You know, this community and the people that have come in and contributed. Deb plays a lot of tennis.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's bring Debbie into this thing. We got to talk about football so much. We need to talk about the glue. For me and you, because she served at the chamber. So, Debbie, I love Debbie.
So you think about the development, and our first big development here commercially was what we call the Roses Shopping Center. It's the Willow Tree Shopping Center now.
Okay.
But our first big department store was Roses.
Sure.
And it was our biggest development. Bobby Davis was
Bobby
the mayor
Davis.
At that time. And Debbie's dad was brought in because he'd been with Roses.
So that's how Debbie got here.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
That's how Debbie got here. She moved here as a sophomore in high school.
Okay.
She'd lived all over the Southeast as he'd gone around and opened stores.
I remember her telling me that now.
So she moved to Cookeville from Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay.
A member of the state champion J-Town band.
And Whoa, okay.
came to Cookeville. And she had dated a couple of people. And you know, she dating one young man that I knew him and his family real well, but I convinced her that she hadn't been fair to the community because there were so many great personalities in the community, and she needed to break up with him.
And you were one of them.
So she could date other people. And she did.
What a noble gesture.
And we went out. I hated I did not get to the old Tucker Stadium before they tore down that west side. Because I can see where she was standing when I walked out of the locker room after the football game that night for our first date.
How about that?
You know, that you don't.
You can't make that up, no. Or it's not. It's like a novel. I mean, it's real.
It is. And so
memories, and
you know, I'm so blessed that she chose to put up with me all these years, and we have a daughter that's Terry. Yeah, and
thank goodness.
People say I outpunted my coverage.
Yeah, I did too.
I don't, you know, I think that, you know, maybe a moonshot over my coverage should be more appropriate.
Yeah.
But you know, getting to serve and getting to grow up, growing up in church.
Yes. Oh.
Getting. And stuff we take for granted, that you run into somebody that doesn't know anything about the Bible or God or Jesus or the Spirit.
Yeah.
It's just like, what do you mean?
We just thought everyone was that way. I mean, every community or every – no. It's the longer we're living here, the more special this place becomes.
Oh, it's
– when you learn like we're doing today.
Well, you know, in my job, and my responsibility now goes from Crossville, the backside of Cumberland County, all the way to the Mississippi River.
Wow, okay.
And I go from the Kentucky line to Birmingham. And as I've worked and traveled in these other communities, and when I used to travel, and I'm working with our chamber, but with those other chambers, the cities and the counties don't have the relationship.
No, they don't.
The chambers don't have the relationship.
No, they don't.
Lots of them. And some very close to us here, you've got three different entities that fight like cats and dogs.
That's right.
Instead of trying to get something
That's
done.
That's right.
Because they can't put their own differences aside long enough to make it work.
You know, besides Debbie, you've also got a grandson.
I've got a grandson named Corey.
Let's put him in the picture.
Well, Corey's,
we were talking that off air. Nothing like being a grandparent.
Nothing at all like
and until
it.
Until one has been one. One does not know.
Well, you know, Corey is coming up riding horses, and his
just
mom
like
and
his
dad
and you
and his
like
mom
and everybody, yeah,
right. And he's already won belt buckles. He's competing.
How old is he?
He's fixing to turn 9.
Wow.
He's in third grade at Findlay down in White County.
Yeah,
and he wants to talk about the aviation side of things, and he likes the stories about me being an EMT. And being a firefighter, and all of that, and we're trying to give him that rich background.
Yeah, that foundation that you had, and your family has had.
It was a total blessing. The relationship with you over the years. Oh, you got me this job with Spectrum.
Well, I didn't. Wow,
that
you were. We worked together, and we did a lot of things. It was great. Just
we
great
did,
stuff.
And it just but a great relationship. So, you know, we're blessed to be here. Thank you for having me on and spending a little time with me and putting up with these stories.
Well, I couldn't explain better than what you just did why Glory and I, this is home. We found a home. God bless you, Randy and Debbie and your grandson. And I just learned a lot today. I get chill bumps. George Hofford, Randy Adams, I wish we had more time, but it's done for this time. See you next time.